Are alien megastructures in space harvesting energy from stars? If the Christian devil has hooves, does the goat devil have human feet? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of
This Paranormal Life.
Hello and Welcome back to This Paranormal Life. This is the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday, me, Kit Grewer-Mulvenna, and my co-paranormal investigator, Mr. Roy Part, get to the bottom of a different case, deciding by the end of that episode whether we think it's really paranormal or not. How are you doing today, Rory?
I'm doing great, friend. Kit. We are back here on the Emerald Isle.
The Emerald Isle.
Recording a few podcasts. Rode over today in the sunshine on my motorbike. Jeez. So you know I am ready for a big day of kicking
it's
ass.
It's a short ride.
Well, don't tell them that. They don't know that. Assumed it was probably like across country, like through the mountains and stuff.
We are here to investigate paranormal, not really here to talk about Rory's badass little motorcycle. But Rory, today we're going to go figuratively through the power of podcasting to a location which I think would be great to ride a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I've never been. But we're going today to the vast prairie lands of Manitoba, Canada.
Oh, okay. I don't even know geographically where this is. In Canada.
Should we find out?
Yeah, that would be
otherwise
smart.
We'll be speaking out of school. Canada's so f***ing big.
Yeah, it's wild.
Do you have any idea how big Canada is? Yeah. Jesus. To illustrate that point, there's Manitoba.
Woo! All right, that's a big chunk. Okay, yeah. I thought this was going to be like a town or something.
They're all big chunks. Have you noticed? Look at the size of Quebec? Are you kidding me?
Manitoba's the size of...
Are you kidding me?
This country. That's wild.
I also love the way Canada has named its provinces. They kind of gave up at a certain point in a kind of sci-fi way. Like you've got good names like Manitoba, Ontario, and then they're like Northwestern Territories.
Oh, that's what they're called?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then there's a whole area I didn't even know about called... Nunavut.
All right, we're not investigating Canada. We do have to do something today, paranormal.
I guess you could say Rory's having none of it. Let's jump into today's investigation. I do have a case. I'm making it sound like I'm vamping and I don't have a case. I absolutely have an amazing case. We're going to get right into that investigation. Quick reminder that there is so much This Paranormal Life bonus content over on patreon.com. That is the place you can get weekly after parties, monthly bonus episodes, a ton of other amazing rewards, and quick reminder, we're going on tour.
We are, yeah.
Going to, funnily enough, Canada for the first ever time for This Paranormal Life live podcast in Toronto this August. Also...
We're going to Nunavut?
But not to Nunavut,
or
the Northwest Territories. We're a lot more southern than that, probably for the best.
Okay.
Someday, we'll go to the Yukon. But, and also a bunch of US cities. Check it out. This Paranormal Life. .com to pick up your tickets. As I say, we're in Manitoba, Canada, and in the south of this province lies the small farming town of Carmen, where a news crew is driving through the farmland just outside the town on a beautiful, clear night.
I don't know, Bill. I think we're wasting our time out here.
Trust me, Al. I've got a good feeling about tonight.
You said that about the last two nights. They weren't exactly groundbreaking.
But those lights?
Ha! A passenger plane heading south. Not exactly close encounters, Bill. And definitely not what we were told we'd experience out here.
Listen, if we don't get what we're after tonight, I'm happy to give up and head back to the city.
Bill and Alan, along with John Barry and newspaper editor Howard Bennett.
John Barry? That's a forager if I ever heard one. Dude is locked in.
He works for a newspaper, so...
Oh, okay. So, I assumed he was some kind of wild man explorer.
A newspaper editor, Howard Bennett, had been sent to Carmen to investigate some strange aerial phenomena that had been reported over the previous 4 months. But with nothing to show for the last two nights, the team is starting to lose interest. They pull up in a quiet corner of the prairie and get out.
All right, Bill. 20 minutes out here and then we go back to town for a beer.
Sure, sure. But, guys, I think I see something out there.
Oh, here we go again. Probably the Golden Arches at the next town over. Speaking of which, who wants a burger on the way home? Oh my God, Bill, you're right! Look in the tree line!
In the distance, a red orb rose up from amongst some woodland and hovered above the trees.
Good Lord, eh?
The orb was extremely bright, blood red, and emitted no sound whatsoever.
Yikes.
The group froze in awe for a moment before Alan grabbed the camera. The newspaper editor, Howard, later described what they saw. I could see this big glow behind some trees less than half a mile away off to the right and ahead of us. It was a smoky red, a hazy glow, and to me, the thing was higher than the trees, maybe 50 feet tall. It was about 20 feet thick and was sitting at an angle of 45 degrees. But weirdest of all, he also said, the edges were fuzzy and not sharply defined. It was like seeing a drive-in movie screen from the side.
What? That's a weird description.
Yeah, we're going back a few decades here. The reference points are going to be different. This was exactly what they'd come to Carmen to see. Strange lights that had been reported by locals in the months leading up to their visit.
Hell yeah. And look, it's great to have a witness testimony so we can imagine this thing in our own minds. But we don't have to today, because your boy Kit just told me this motherfucker had a camera with him. So I know today, probably right now actually, sometimes we like save it for the end, like reveal a big piece of information. But I'm sure right now, my buddy Kit is about to whip round that laptop and show me this footage.
Bro, you might have unzipped your jeans and placed your balls on the table.
But my mouth is wide open.
Phil, insert an unzipping sound effect right here. Rory, let's take a look at Alan Kerr's footage from that evening.
Hell yeah. I knew you wouldn't let me down, buddy.
I think you clearly thought I was going to come up with an excuse. You were sure.
These slides were taken in Carmen in 1975. The image blow-ups give you a better look, particularly here where the image seems to double and then returns to a single entity.
Wow.
This doubling is common to many UFOs. This film of a UFO is also from Carmen.
This is the footage.
Here you see the same image slowed down. The image again briefly doubles, and note particularly the wavy flight path, which is very characteristic of UFOs.
Oh,
and
shit,
seems to
yeah.
show some intent. We'll repeat the same sequence at half speed. Again, notice the flight path.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this thing, because it kind of looks like it could be like a shooting star or something. But when they slow it down, it does like a wiggle.
Yeah.
It does like a little hop.
It's not going straight at all.
No.
And as she mentions, it appears to, as she says, double. Now, it is quite a subtle motion, but it does appear to break apart into a couple of objects and then come back together.
That flash of movement was a second shot of a UFO. Here is the same sequence, much slower. Notice that the blip stops, again seeming to show some intent. Notice that the blip stays quite still, as if readying for movement, then mushrooms at the top and disappears, only to have a new blip appear at the top of the screen. The flash mid-screen is lens flare.
Whoa! This dude teleports!
It's quite weird.
Yeah. That's insane.
And then before she tells you that that's a lens flare, you're like, holy f***. It flew right at the camera. She's like, no, that's a lens flare.
That's a lens flare. Oh my God.
But it is true. She said the word she uses is it mushroomed. I wouldn't use that word, but it does a little wiggle and changes shape a tiny bit as it moves. But then it disappears from one location and appears at the top of the screen.
Yeah, it's funny here, like describing this thing in her very like clinical news reporter voice.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, so here you can see the object dematerializes, disappearing in an instant, similar to that that you would see in a wizard spell. This is like, what?
That was honestly going to be my biggest takeaway from this video is the news really used to be something, didn't it?
Right.
Like, what happened? What happened to the news? Like, if I stick on the news in the UK is I'm famously hate the news in the UK.
Sure.
Because it's so kind of vague as the point of kind of telling you nothing. And then they've kind of started doing that like American cable news thing of like interjecting lots of like lighthearted feel good stories. So it'll be like 30 seconds on war, famine, plague. You kind of learn nothing. And then they'll be like,
But you know what? At the end of the day, it's all right because 8 dads are walking across Birmingham to raise money for donkeys. It's like, I don't need to know that. I'll assume that lots of fun charity work is happening. Please tell me more about the crazy shit that's happening in the world.
Yeah, yeah, that seems quite important.
Rory, you knew I wasn't gonna leave you hanging. What do you make of that footage?
I mean, if you want, we can go to conclusions now.
Okay.
It could be like a short, it could be a real short episode, you know?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Rory.
I'm actually think you should stop. Because I'm not going to say where my head's at right now, but things are looking pretty good.
Right, Rory puts handcuffs on me. He's like, anything you say or do from this point on can be used against your own episode.
Yes. Because, hey, I know it, brother. Sometimes you got the fish on the hook, and you're like, maybe I throw even more worms at it.
That's not how it works.
But sometimes you throw so many worms at the fish that the fish gets free.
On the
you forgot to hold on to the fishing rod. Because you have just handfuls and handfuls of worms.
You just started eating worms because you were like, why do I need to catch fish? I've got plenty of protein here in the boat.
And I'm just worried you might lose the fish if you continue on this story and things get a little wilder. But
I appreciate this kind of game show analogy of like, you know, hey, look, Deal or No Deal, we've secured such an old reference. We've secured $5,000 in the bank. Are you going to go for the mystery box? Are we going to push further, go up the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire rank of questions?
Yeah.
To try and win the $1 million, Rory.
But I'm saying you already have the million. You have it now. There really is no value in proceeding any further with additional content.
You've got the million. Beyond this, it's like some kind of alien diamond, which is growing, glowing green.
I guess you could have that, yeah.
I could maybe get that. Rory, I have such confidence in the rest of this case, I'm gonna proceed.
All right, let's do it.
This video is one part of the puzzle in what has come to be known as one of the most extensive and well-documented UFO cases in Canadian history. This is known as Charlie Red Star.
Oh, why? Stumped him. One question deep.
Just try this.
He was like, actually, you know what? I will end the episode here.
Rory, to understand how it got the name Charlie Red Star is also how we'll find out about all the bloody rest of the story. We've got to go slightly back in time to the eyewitness accounts that were the reason this news team were there in the first place.
Of course, yeah.
Well, what is commonly accepted as the first known encounter took place in just February of that year. A local farmer was working outside his barn when a red ball of light appeared above him. Now, he judged this thing to be only around 18 inches in diameter. And get this, it suddenly swooped down, he says, close to his head before shooting off upwards and disappearing into the night sky.
Damn, so it couldn't have been that big if it swooped by his head like a baseball.
At least at this point in the story.
Okay.
The farmer reported a searing heat coming from the orb, and when it got close to him, he said he felt a physical effect, becoming drowsy and disoriented.
All right.
Whilst it sucks to be the farmer in this case, that is the kind of thing we like to hear with an eyewitness account.
Well, yes, we do like to hear about physical repercussions of being close to alien shit.
Well, over the following weeks, more and more local people reported seeing a similar floating bright red orb object. And as the reports increased, some of the characteristics appeared to change. And according to descriptions, the orb's size increased.
Shit, he's growing up.
Yeah, so whatever this thing was, it was either changing or there was more than one of it. Some testimonies claimed the orb was eerily silent, while others described it emitting a piercing noise. I mean, before we go any further, does this kind of immediately sound like anything else we've covered on TPL?
We've talked about orbs a lot before, but at this point in the story, it feels like this little guy's got a little bit of a personality.
I'm glad you picked up on that, honestly. I think you're starting to maybe get a little sense why he was... It's one of the only UFOs to ever be given a nickname. Charlie Red Star.
That's why he's called Charlie? Ah, see, I didn't know if he was like first seen by a guy called Charlie.
Yeah.
This was Charlie's Red Star. This little guy's name is Charlie.
The orb itself is Charlie Red Star.
Kind of cute, not going to lie. I'm kind of into it. We should start selling Charlie Red Star merch in our
it
store.
It killed a guy called Charlie.
Oh, that's what happened.
Vaporized him to oblivion. And in commemoration, they called it Charlie Red Star. And there's more. Flashing forward just 1 month, in March 1975, a young girl was awoken by a siren-like wail outside her house. The whole building appeared to shake. Was it from the noise or some other energy? Leaping from her bed, she rushed to the window, and pulling back the curtains, the room was washed with a blazing red light and searing heat.
Damn.
It was reported that the orb was, quote, emanating so much heat that she at first thought it had set her home ablaze. As it rose up, it passed over the house, then flew back in front of her, hovering there in the night, so bright that she described it as, quote, looking like the sun was coming up.
Oh my God.
Before finally whizzing off into the distance, illuminating the ground along the way.
Why is the orb trying to get into a little girl's bedroom? I think, look, I gave you the chance to stop the episode. I want that on record.
Whoa,
that I did.
Hey, no one said the episode's in a bad place.
Now you're telling me there's an orb called Charlie that woke a little girl up in the night. She saw him, he left, and then he went, unless, came back.
No, he
came
didn't
back,
say unless.
And then zipped off again.
What I'm saying is the Charlie, I'm not going to call it that anyway, the UFO, the orb, it did the classic.
Where's Chris Hansen?
Godzilla against the window, you know? I don't know what Godzilla movie that's in.
What, that's not from a Godzilla movie.
That isn't a Godzilla movie. Godzilla puts his, like, there's people in a skyscraper and they're like,
yes.
Oh my God, he's outside. And then he, to illustrate, using a tool of cinematography to illustrate the size of Godzilla, he puts his eye against the window and his eye is the entire size of the window.
Right. Yeah, that's to show you the...
Sorry, deep cinematic reference. But that is what the orb did here. It kind of put its eye up. It was like, who's in there? Oh shit, little girl. Oh, don't want to get done for that. And then it took off.
They should do that again in a Godzilla movie where they're like, oh my God, look at the size of his head. And then the camera zooms out and it was like one of his nuts.
Sure.
They're like right by one of his nuts.
That's crazy.
It's like, oh my God, he's actually massive.
You know, my dad gifted me once a kangaroo's nutsack. That's not like a, I wish I could say there's some sort of Irish tribe where that's like a historic thing. When every man turns 18, he gets gifted. I think it was like a novelty thing. I think it was in Australia and there was a company that was like, we turn kangaroo nutsacks into keychains.
Oh, that's kind of fun. Yeah.
Right. You're on board. And he was like, oh, that's funny. And he brought it
over.
I was like, why the f*** would I want this?
He's like, you didn't come to my graduation. You've been gone for 2 months. You came back home. You give me a kangaroo's nutsack.
I will say.
Is this like a mafia thing? Like you've been handed the kangaroo's nutsack. That means you're going to get assassinated in the next 24 hours.
It's a weird John Wick token.
Yeah.
I will say it did have the look, appearance and feel of a kind of high quality leather product. It wasn't like raw. All
right. Yeah. I don't want to.
So let's move on. And it wasn't just the little girl. Within a few weeks, almost everyone in the town of Carmen had had some kind of encounter with strange orbs in the night sky. Some testimonies describe just one light, while others were closer to a more traditional UFO sighting.
Mm.
Those people described large saucer shapes, almost in a mothership role, with the smaller red orbs dancing around them. Now, weirdly, no one seemed to have any fear whatsoever about what was going on. And before long, outsiders were traveling to the area just to get a glimpse of the alien lights. The darting, dancing light show was interpreted as playful, and it delighted audiences. That was when it got the nickname Charlie Red Star.
Wow. And I guess if this is really happening frequently enough, people can come and see it, and you have a good chance at witnessing these strange lights.
I think we'll talk a little bit about it later, but I mean, we kind of at this point have to mention how bloody similar this is to the New Jersey drones.
When
we're talking about a series of orb sightings, red orb sightings, taking place over a couple of weeks to the point where people are able to pull up a lawn chair, invite a couple buddies around for beers and take photos and videos of the orbs.
Hey, What about the episode we covered recently, the Colores UFO? Huh? Another great example of light showing up consistently in small towns. Hopefully, in today's case, we don't get a little sucky. Because that one went south real fast.
Or we might get lucky. It's true.
My case ended with little guys in gray suits coming down and putting ray guns to the back of people's heads. And we gave that a double yes.
Oh, my God.
So I think really we have a good chance of today's case. Again, if we just ended here. I will take that.
Okay. I get off on pushing Rory closer to the edge.
I demand that comment be stricken from the record. Kid is stroking his kangaroo nuts while he said that.
I get off on edging Rory to a paranormal conclusion.
Oh my God, I'm going to conclude. I'm about to conclude.
Jesus.
I know Christ. We're 2 minutes in, but I'm about to conclude. Listen, similar to the game show format, I'm going to periodically give you the chance to end it. Kit Greer, would you like to end today with your winnings, or would you like to continue the episode? You got to do that thing they always do where they draw it out, being like, you know.
You know, well, there's a lot on the line here today, and undoubtedly, with a double yes under my belt, I could take my whole family to Disneyland.
Yeah, they're in the front row.
Hey, sweetie.
Hi.
Yeah, they're off school. The kids are off school today. But
you're doing great, baby.
You know,
I love you so much.
I've always been a kind of guy to roll the dice and risk it all.
Take the money. And please.
Shut up. Shut up. I told you that. Sorry, the camera's still rolling. Can we cut that? That doesn't paint me in a good light, I feel like. And I feel, sorry. No, hey.
This is live.
They're trying to take me off the stand. No, it's still my go. And keep the cameras rolling. I turn into the Joker.
Gotham City. Keep the cameras rolling.
A guy can do a lot of crazy things with $1 million. That's not what you're getting today. You're getting a yes or a no.
You know, I think it's always been my dream to play this game show, and I think I want to roll the dice and risk it all today.
All right.
Keep going with today's investigation.
The game continues.
Here we go. I'll take shit Rory will never believe for $50. Thankfully, depending on if you're Rory, the testimony does not end there. Because the sightings weren't just limited to ground level. Roger Pitt, an airline pilot, also witnessed Charlie Redstone, saying, quote, "It was flying on a 45-degree angle." Stay with me here. This is a bit of a weird one, but it does make sense.
Okay.
"It was flying at a 45-degree angle, but still flying straight at us. Now, as we watched, it didn't turn around and just went directly back the other way."
Oh, it just stopped.
If that makes sense, it's not like a plane that would have to do a turn.
Yeah.
Or even a helicopter that would have to do a turn. It simply flew towards them and without changing orientation in any way, flew straight back the other way.
That would make me physically uncomfortable if I saw that. Something that just shouldn't really make sense to a human.
Yeah. And this is such a common theme of modern UFO sightings, is seemingly impossible changes of direction. Like, changes of direction that the G-forces would crush a man.
Yeah. It shouldn't work. Even a metal object, a drone, wouldn't be able to pull off something like that because it defies the laws of physics.
Yeah,
and
the
movement.
Materials involved would have to be super strong.
Can't happen, yeah.
And this is from an airline pilot. Now, as well as this,
I would crash that plane in the ocean. I would take them all with me. I'd be like, look, from what I just saw, you don't want to live on this world anymore. I assume by the time we land, we've been enslaved.
Everyone's like, we're gonna fly circles. Just land the plane. You can unalive yourself after we land if you want.
I'm gonna call everyone on the tannoy and be like,
"They're here, ladies and gentlemen. We can remain airborne for 2.5 days. I presume they've already taken the capital. There's no Canada to go back to, ladies and gentlemen. From this moment onward, you're all officially on the one nut diet. We will be rationing."
Forget that shit I said at the start of the flight about there being a person with a nut allergy on the plane. Open up the nuts. There's no Canada to go back to, ladies and gentlemen. Ice hockey, gone. Poutine, incinerated.
Rory, and the pilot story didn't end there. He said, "It just went off into the distance away from us, and a puff of smoke appeared. An odd shape, like a small cloud, and it disappeared in that."
Oh, we went into like a portal?
I guess.
All right.
This is scary shit for 1975.
Yeah. Hey, you know, this is probably just what it looks like to see these things during the day.
Yes.
And I mean, like they're not as cool and pretty when they're not, when it's daylight and you can see the motherfuckers. At night, they're like little Christmas tree lights. Look at them go doing their little dances. In the cold light of day, it is a metal orb.
And this is, we don't want to get me started on this, guys. And I'm not going to get started because we don't have time. But in modern UAP UFO sightings, this is the type of shit I love. When they point a news crew camera at a scientist's face and they're like, explain this. And they're like, I guess if it was like a fifth dimensional object, maybe that's what it would look like. It blipping in and out of our third dimensional space.
Yeah.
Like, are we looking at something just defying the laws of physics altogether?
Yeah. I love that kind of stuff. That mind-blowing science shit.
That stuff that scientists don't even really believe, but dumb guys like us lap it up.
What's that cool one where, I'm going to butcher this and apologies, you might know what I'm talking about, where it's like, it's a type of atom, I believe,
mm-hmm.
where you can like separate it or separate them. Mm. And whatever you do to one, it will change the other one.
Yes, this is what Einstein described as, quote, spooky action at a distance, a kind of quantum effect.
Yeah.
Where I believe is it like quarks or something or electrons? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, you separate these subatomic particles by enormous distances.
Huge.
And then when you, I believe, like change, this is all like physics terms, but you change the spin of one and then it, I believe, changes the spin of the other potentially in faster than light time.
Yes. With no possible way of understanding how these two, why they are linked.
Yes.
And how this would happen.
They're linked Love through that. Some kind of, yeah, as yet misunderstood quantum
so
function.
Cool. So cool.
And then guys like us take that and say aliens are real. That's the great thing about being dumb, brother.
Oh, yeah. Those atoms are basically like me and Kit. Because if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to make sure this guy's having one too. I'm going to make it his problem. That's two bad days.
He'll send an iMessage that just says, "F*** you." That's borderline fat. I'll feel shit faster than light. Hit another person on my bike. Hope you're having a shit one. And Rory, I wish I could get off this f***ed up game show ride, but the sightings simply don't stop. We literally couldn't, it's one of those stories, a little like your last UFO story, we couldn't list all the sightings if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Bob and Elaine Demert were two farmers who owned their very own private airstrip. I believe, this sounds bizarre, more common in places like rural Canada and Alaska than places like Ireland.
I'm sure, yeah.
In April 1975, they had their first encounter with Charlie Red Star. When they were startled by a large red light coming at them, they could see a dome on top of a saucer-shaped object.
Hmm.
They say the unidentified object flew towards them from the west, then veered north, traveling just above the treetops at like 50 kilometers an hour. Pretty low and not that fast. So it's this bizarre thing where this thing can move extremely quickly at bizarre turns and speeds, but it can also cruise.
50 kilometers per hour. This thing did a drive-by.
Yeah.
It just kind of cruised by, intimidating.
Like in a mafia movie. Yeah. Wound down the window, kind of made eye contact, did the little two-finger thing.
Yeah.
My eyes are seeing your eyes. The universal watch it symbol. But more importantly, this red glowing disc, as they described it, began to visit the farm almost nightly.
Oh, man.
Its appearance was so consistent. The Demerts began to invite round friends and welcome countless onlookers. The crowds delighted in the, quote, mischievous, playful craft darting around the night sky.
This feels like one of those things where, you know, like back during World War II, where they would just like invite soldiers to watch them test nuclear weapons.
Yeah, they're just getting showered with radiation.
They're like, wow, it's amazing. Look at that mushroom cloud. Crazy stuff. And then the documentaries are just like, they're all dead, by the way. Every single one of the people you just saw, completely dead. It's like, cool, yeah. Yeah, don't invite your friends around to look at the glowing red orb from another galaxy. It's a bad idea.
It's a good shout. I think before I started this podcast, I might have been inviting my friends to the UFO cookout. Not anymore.
Don't do it. Not without your protective gear.
To stay away. It would be like COVID. I'd be like, oh, I'd love to come to the beach, guys, but the orb came by yesterday. So yeah, better self-isolate.
Yeah, and I'm in a bubble with one other person already. My orb. I'm in an orb.
As we speak. I've weirdly got good 4G. I can kind of still text and call. And another detail I love about this witness was we always like to have kind of reliable witnesses. Not that farmers aren't, but I like that one of the visitors to their farm was Ian Nicholson, a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And he actually wrote an official report of what he saw in Carmen, describing following the orb in his car for miles and miles until it eventually disappeared over the horizon.
Wow.
So look, I've been edging Rory for about 45 minutes.
You have to stop.
And he is perilously close to hopefully giving this a yes. But I feel there is one missing piece of the puzzle. All of this does raise the question, is there any more physical evidence besides our very distant photos and videos of the craft from Mr. Kerr in the beginning?
Yeah, which was pretty strong, to be fair. We really don't ever have video footage of UFOs.
From this early in history as well, 1975.
It's crazy. It's a miracle that we have that, yeah.
But it still would be nice. If we're talking about so many sightings, it would be nice to get something more that might just clinch it for us. So is there more evidence? The answer is kinda. In July 2025, a group of teenagers reported seeing Charlie Red Star landing in a field.
This year?
Oh,
2025?
Sorry, 1975. Those teenagers are dead. They are, no, not really. They're ironically probably 75 years old at this point.
Wait, so what year?
No, 75. That's a typo. It's a typo. I'm losing that $1 million, aren't I? All right, okay. Sorry, kids, we're going to get to Disneyland someday.
1975.
In July 1975, same year, a couple months later, a group of teenagers reported seeing, I'm losing him. Stay with me,
just
buddy.
No, you, just stay with me. Stay calm, you're doing fine. Don't stress, because you will lose me if you go off the rails.
All right.
I don't swear either.
My brother's calling me on WhatsApp.
They don't do that on the game shows.
Since when is my laptop getting WhatsApp calls? Sorry.
Are we
still rolling?
You don't get to
people
phone
of Gotham. Listen to me. A group of teenagers.
Yeah.
1975. Reported. See, it's not even July 2025. So how could it be? How could it be? If I had said that, how could it be, Rory? Don't believe that.
Don't put that on me.
Don't believe that.
Don't say it like that was a test.
I'm getting mad. I don't mean to be. I'm taking it out of you.
How could it be, you idiot?
They reported seeing Charlie Red Star landing in a field briefly before shooting off.
All right.
They said, quote, it was about 85 feet in diameter and perfectly round. So round, it was unbelievable.
Wait. What do you mean?
This shit is an orb.
Yeah, but...
Hey, I will say, I'll defend them for a second. We've seen in other UFO sightings, people will sometimes say, there was no panels. There was no rivets.
Yeah.
There was no anything.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it's just a sphere.
I guess they mean like so smooth and round. Yeah.
So round, it was unbelievable.
But like the most round thing is just a circle.
But
it's
also
just
the next line is it was saucer shaped. So I don't know.
What?
I don't know. All right, keep listening.
Okay.
They say, and the top and bottom traveled in different directions. They go on, the bottom bit spun to the right and the top bit spun to the left.
Ah, I see. Oh, okay.
Yeah, weird. They say there was a center section that didn't move, about 6 to 8 feet in width.
There must be a drawing of this thing. I gotta see it.
They're actually... We'll get to that. I don't have one right now, but we will get to potential evidence.
Okay.
But here's the bit that I think is most important. The next day, the landowner of this area described going out and finding, quote, an oval patch of dead vegetation and
Hello.
Tripod marks in the field.
Hello. Shouldn't have been a tripod because it's just a ball, but I like the dead grass.
And this wasn't even
only. I'm, for dramatic purposes here, I'm Oppenheimering right now. I've got my fingers on the bridge of my nose.
Kit has been wearing sunglasses this entire episode. He just took them off for the first time. I can see how red his eyes are.
I look so stoned. I don't know what's wrong with my eyes. It's a whole thing. That's why I've got sunglasses on. I'm not stoned.
You have double pink eye. How did you do that?
I don't have pink eye. The doctor specifically said it wasn't conjunctivitis as we know it in the UK. All right. And this wasn't even the only physical manifestation of the craft. Rory, going back to our news team at the very beginning, Karen is footage, the whole crew. After they got that footage, they went back to the scene the next day to check with a radiation meter. I don't know if it was a Geiger counter. And they found, quote, several spots with radiation anomalies.
All right. Again, this is what we want to see. Some physical evidence.
Just as the picture is building and building, and at this time, Manitoba was experiencing 5 times the national average of UFO reports. But just 1 year later, in the winter of 1976, the reports of Charlie Red Star pretty much stopped altogether.
Damn.
Some argued that UFO fever had just gripped this small town, whereas others believed it was a bona fide UFO hotspot. It does make us wonder why Carmen, why this small town in the kind of the middle of, sorry, Manitoba, nowhere, in geographical global terms. But one UFO researcher, Grant Cameron, pointed out an interesting coincidence, saying, quote, whatever it was drawn to secret nuclear facilities in the region just south of the US-Canadian border.
What? Is anyone backing up those claims?
Yeah. Or they're either, not that secret or, he knows something we don't. But I don't know. I actually don't know if that's come out. But that's an interesting little tidbit. We've seen in other UFO cases that UFOs absolutely have been drawn to nuclear hotspots.
Yeah.
Weapons testing facilities, weapons harboring facilities.
Well, it's an interesting little wild claim that a man has just thrown out into the universe. I mean, that would make sense if that existed or was real. But is it? I mean, who is this guy? He's just a UFO expert.
He is a UFO expert who wrote a book called Charlie Red Star: The True Reports of One of North America's Biggest UFO Sightings.
Okay, so very little kind of involvement in the military industrial complex or with nuclear facilities or anything like that.
Hey, Rory.
I
can think of, I know a couple super top secret military bases myself. I don't know if you've ever heard of these. Area 51.
Yeah, famously not in Canada, in a desert.
Yeah, it's American, but it's supposed to be secret, but it ain't.
I don't know if it is. Well, I guess it was at some point supposed to be secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying the nuke's got to be somewhere. That's just his idea. I'm just saying it's a fun theory for why Carmen. But I don't know. It also could just be, you know, UFO movie theory. UFO's got to land somewhere.
I'm a little disappointed if this thing hasn't been just kicking around for so long in front of so many people. We don't actually have more photographs in today's case. Just from people kind of chilling.
I mean, that's it. We've basically got the anecdotal reports of effects on the ground, the dead vegetation, radiation. We've got our video and slides that were taken. You might have just about not caught that, but in our news report I played you at the beginning, they said, here are some slides taken 3 days before the film, I think.
Oh, and I thought they were just like breakdowns of the footage.
So there was some photos we saw in that video. And just to remind us, there is a still from the video itself.
Yeah.
It's almost like a little image to go out on.
It looks like a comet.
What are we dealing with?
It looks like a comet. And if we only had a photo, I would have just probably said this is space debris or a comet.
Yeah. If you hadn't seen it wiggle.
You showed me the wiggle.
Yeah.
Kit showed me his wiggle.
Call this thing Jason Derulo the way it be wiggle, wiggle, wiggling. That's Jason Derulo, right?
You should have ended the episode earlier. You should have ended it one sentence early because I assume we're going right into conclusions now.
At the end of every episode, we have to decide it was Jason Derulo. Great. Okay. Rory, it is true. There's a ton of angles to this case, but
Why beat around the bush? Let me hear what you think about this thing.
I love it. And you did kind of a funny thing, which is usually in this episode of the podcast, we would tell this story start to finish and then say, oh, you don't believe me? Check this out. And then we play the video footage right at the end to that final nail in the coffin. You just started with that and then kind of went backwards. You did like a Christopher Nolan kind of non-linear storytelling here. And it worked because you won me over pretty much from the start, lost me in the middle, and then kind of won me back by the end.
With the little girl shit?
Yeah, that was weird. Sure. That was actually, yeah. Don't remind me about that.
Nothing happened. It just flew over a little girl's house and she was like, what the hell?
Yeah, but it flew over so close, she said. It was like the sun was rising in her window.
I actually like that one. I think the one that's weirdest of all is the first ever one. The farmer who it flew by his head like a mosquito.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest one. The others I thought were all very in line with each other.
Yeah.
But I feel, just to throw it in there, because I feel like you should address it, is I think I've said it on other cases. These cases were crazy at the time, but we have to address the fact that this shit has happened since. We are now in 2025, not July 2025, but almost in July 2025. And that's almost like an extra layer to this story, is the number of UAP sightings that were exactly predicted by stories like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually kind of remarkable that we haven't covered this one yet.
Yeah. Right.
Crazy. Was this a listener submission or or did you see it? As Charlie turned up in Ireland.
It was like the sun had arrived at my bathroom window.
That would be extra paranormal up here in Ireland, because seeing the sun at all is pretty weird.
Thanks for reminding me, Rory. It's worth giving a shout out to Jake Lasconis.
Ooh.
Lasconis, Jake, from Illinois, who gave us a bunch of great suggestions. And he said, Charlie, Red Star UFO, I haven't seen many podcasts do it.
Wow. Yeah, so, too scared.
You're right, Jake. And it took us a little while. Thanks for sending that email in to this paranormallifepodcast@gmail.com. So it was a suggestion. I hadn't heard of it before.
Yeah, I can see the email now. We got that. That was April 1976. So just one year after.
It was
the
little girl. Jacob was a girl's name back then.
It was.
Yeah, so sorry, I've been interrupting.
It's a yes. It's a yes today.
It's a yes. Shit. Get the champagne. I don't need the, listen, people of Gotham, I don't need the $1 million. I've got alien radioactive artifacts. It's a double yes.
Oh!
I fully believe in this one. I think this is a tremendously evidenced UFO case.
I almost gave it a no, I'll be honest.
Oh, shit.
There's parts of this story. Look,
you're losing me.
This
you're losing
happens.
Me.
I'm allowed to lose you.
You're losing me.
That's not my job.
I'm going to end the podcast.
This happens a lot in paranormal cases, which we've seen a lot, where there are parts you really like, and then there's parts of it you don't like, and they're less believable. Maybe you believe the part where people says there's UFOs in the sky. Maybe you don't believe the guy who is at the local pub Monday to f***ing Friday every week, who says that the aliens actually abducted him and he saw their faces. You do get to kind of pick and choose, and you can still say that something did or didn't happen based off of selective evidence, because not every witness is going to be believable, unfortunately.
It's a really good point. You know, and one thing I would be remiss if I didn't mention is that this has been really fun to research. And shout out to researcher Ewan for doing a fantastic job with this case. But it's been really cool to read about, because we probably don't do enough stories in Canada in general. And this has opened my eyes to a whole world of not just Canadian UFOs, but specifically Manitoba. It turns out that there's a Canadian UFO research group, and they have something called the M-Files, which is...
What?
Which is pages and... by all accounts, hundreds and hundreds of disclosed government reports on Manitoba-specific UFO reports.
Wow.
And there is a lot in there. There is other stories which are really cool that happen pretty close to this in the 80s, in the 60s, in the 50s, 40s, and much closer to today. I didn't want to lump them in because I think they make this case muddier.
Yeah.
I think this case is great as it is.
We're going to have to do like Manitoba season.
Yeah, apparently.
A whole month of Manitoba and the M-Files.
Yeah, so is there something going on in Manitoba. Who knows? But clearly, we believe something went on in 1975.
We do. And hey, we'll be able to, maybe not Manitoba, but we will be able to do a little bit of investigating very soon in Canada, because it is one of the stops on our upcoming US and Canadian live tour.
Woo!
For 2025. That's right. So if you are anywhere near the proud city of Toronto, we will be there performing this August.
And we always say every tour comes with a big caveat and apology that we haven't been able to get to more cities. I would, if I got my druthers, I wouldn't leave the continent of North America. I would just stay.
Well, you have a family here and a house.
I would bring them with me.
Oh, okay.
And I would do all the cities. You know, of course, it's my dream to go to every other amazing Canadian city,
yeah,
and US city. And we would love to have done Vancouver and Winnipeg and all these amazing places. Sadly, we always get the industry gods speak and we listen.
Yep.
And we always get less choice over where we get to do in the... There's so many compromises and logistics that mean we only get to do a certain amount of cities. So apologies. We're coming this August to so many more cities than normal. Still not enough. But if you are anywhere near, please do join us. The tickets are at thisparanormallife.com.
/tour. Or sure. Click tour.
Yeah, I think they're right there anyway on the homepage. But yes, /tour if you
there
want.
There you go.
And the people who found out first about the tour were, of course, our beautiful, cool, and delightful patrons over at patreon.com/thisparanormallife. They've been getting access to... everything from ad-free episodes to bonus episodes, weekly after parties behind the scenes of This Paranormal Life, photo
Hell
sets,
yeah.
Physical rewards. It is truly the home of TPL. And we've been uploading all that stuff for years and years and years now.
Which means there's never been a better time to join the party, because if you join at the $5 tier, you get access to, what is it now? Years? 5 years? Maybe not 5 years. Wait, how many years?
Dude, more. 7 years of bonus episodes.
Of bonus episodes, content, after parties,
like,
loads of stuff.
I think we are on like something like 87, 88 bonus episodes, full length episodes that are only on Patreon.
That's wild.
Something like 160 or something after parties.
Oh my
insane.
God. For $5.
Yeah. After parties
for
are on a different
bucks.
Tier, but yeah, the yeah. bonus episodes alone is months of listening. So
crazy.
If you like This Paranormal Life, that's the place to be. Check it out. And at the end of every episode, we like to give a shout out to a couple people from Patreon.
Let's do it.
So a special thank you to Richard Black.
Holy shit. Even this guy's second name is classified.
It's
just
been,
marker.
Rich, might as well call him Richard Tippex. It's just been redacted.
I'm impressed we got Richard.
Yeah.
I have to assume that's not his real name.
No.
R. Black.
Yeah.
That's this guy's name. Hey, maybe I should start calling myself that. Rory Black. Sounds pretty cool.
Mm.
Kit Black.
That's my wife's maiden name.
Oh, yeah.
Before we got married, she was Danielle Black.
Wow, so you never actually found out her second... You have a redacted wife?
I just stupidly assumed that was her real name. That's insane.
I forgot
about
that.
She's a deep state agent.
You married an MIB.
Yeah.
WIB.
I didn't assume she would take my name. She did take my name.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have taken my name. I should have taken her name. That's a much cooler... Kit Black.
Oh my
God. Damn it. What was I thinking? Oh, man.
But you could have done the double barrel thing, Kit Greer Mulvenna Black, or Kit Black Greer Mulvenna.
It sounds like a tier, like, or a like Uber Black.
Yeah,
Kit
yeah.
Black is where I pull up to your house in a suit, and I give you a piggyback ride to your to your event. Thanks, Richard, if that is your real name. And thanks, lastly, today, to Angel Onyx Lopez. Angel Onyx, that's another code name. Onyx is just another name for black.
What?
Because Onyx is a black crystal.
Damn.
What is happening? Angel Onyx?
That is a very cool name. I hope that is your legal name.
Your government.
Yeah. Angel.
Angel Onyx?
Angel
That's
Onyx?
That's absurd.
That's the name of a Digimon.
You're a wizard to me. That's absurd.
Hey, I like this. I like not having a lot of rules in the commune. And one of those is I don't want any judgment around the names that we give our offspring. you know?
Okay.
The weirder, the better. Because it really helps just people stand out in the crowd.
Yeah, well, you called one of your kids Slinky.
Well, yeah. What's weird
it's
about
really
that?
It's really embarrassing. It's just like, it named him after like a 80s toy.
Well, not because of that. It's not because he looks like a Slinky.
No one said that.
It's because he fell down the stairs and he was fine by the end.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, hey, Slinky.
He fell down the stairs and he was fine by the end. It was like,
he went head to toe to head to toe to head to toe. He just like a Slinky.
On the fourth step, he dislocated both arms, but they got locked back in by the bottom.
Yeah. So he was fine again. Slinky. You have to untangle him a little bit, but he was fine.
Oh my God. All right. Child Protection Services. Thank you so much
His
for tuning
Slinky
in.
His name's Slinky Black, I call him.
Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Angel. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. Couldn't do it without you. Links for Patreon are in the description of this pod, or if you're watching on YouTube, in the description of the video.
There you go.
ThisParanormalLife.com to get your tickets to see us do a live podcast in your city of choice. Can't wait to be there. Thank you for joining us. Let's celebrate, Rory, a double yes, I think, with I might try that falling down the stairs shit. Sounds fun.
It's pretty fun as long as you're okay by the end.
I'll try a helmet, first of all.
Smart.
Slinky's a little Slinky's a little weird, so something happened. And we will be back on Tuesday with a brand new paranormal tale.
Bye-bye.